Yesterday we completed chapter 22, which deals with the subject of, in one word, Abideh. And now we shall begin chapter 23, which deals with the subject of Text 4. Krishna Rati Gata Haile Prema Abhi Krishna Bhakti Rasera A Stai Bhavanama. When affection for Krishna becomes deeper, one attains love of Godhead in devotional service. Such a position is called Stai Bhava, permanent enjoyment of the mellows of devotional service. At the end of the last chapter, Lord Chaitanya explained how affection comes to the stage of Rati or Bhava. Rati and Bhava are two names for the same thing. And when Rati or Bhava becomes deeper, it becomes prema. Prema is the intensified form or the condensed form of Rati or Bhava. So text 5 gives the definition of Bhava. And we should know this definition. Shuddha Shatva Vishesh Atma Prema Suryamshu Samyabhak Ruchibis Chitta Mishrinya Mashrinya Krit Aso Bhava Uchite. Shuddha Shatva means transcendental goodness. There are three modes of material nature: tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun. And in the material world, there are always different combinations of different proportions of the three material modes, but distinct from the material mode of goodness is transcendental goodness, which is called Shuddha Sattva or Vishuddha Sattva. And when one comes or to the stage of Bhava, one attains to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. Just as there are three material modes, ignorance, passion, and goodness,
There are also three divisions in the spiritual realm, corresponding to Sat, Chit, and Ananda, or existence, knowledge, and bliss. The existence potency is called Sandini. The knowledge potency is called Samvit. And the pleasure potency is called Lanini. The bhakti energy consists of Samvit and Ladini. As we discussed, that just to begin bhakti, one must have association of devotees. So that the bhakti from within the heart of the devotee can enter into the heart of the candidate and arouse bhakti there. But although the seed of bhakti is there, the person is not complete in his spiritual development. And therefore he engages in the process of sadhana bhakti. But when the person comes to the stage of bhav, the devotee is blessed by Ladini and Samvit, and he becomes fully situated on the transcendental platform. Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryamshu Bhava is like a ray of the sun of prema. In other words, Bhava is the same as prema, but it is just the beginning. When the first rays of the sun peep over the horizon, one knows that the sun will rise very soon. So similarly, when Bhav enters the heart of the devotee, one can know that Prem will follow just thereafter. Ruchibis Chittamashrinya Krid Aso Bhava Uchite. At that time, one's heart becomes softened by various tastes, by hearing about Krishna, chanting or remembering about Krishna, or in any way coming into contact with anything that reminds one of Krishna, one's heart softens with various tastes of relish. of the association of Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya explains that the Swarup Lakshana, or natural characteristic or constitutional characteristic, is Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. The devotee becomes situated on the platform of pure goodness. And the Tathashta Lakshana, or marginal symptom, is that his heart softens by various tastes. And text 7 gives the definition of prema, which we should also know. Samyan Mashrinita Svanto. When Bhava softens the heart completely, Mamat Bhati Shayan Kita. One becomes endowed with a great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord. Bhava Se Eva Sandratma. And the bhava becomes very much condensed and intensified. Buddha Prema Nigadhyate. It is called Prema, love of Godhead, by learned scholars. In the material world, everyone falsely identifies with the material body, and he thinks this is my body, and that the things in relation to the body are also his. This is my mother, father, friend, enemy, husband, wife. This is my house, car, and so on. As we advance in devotional service, the false sense of I and mine becomes diminished. But still, it continues to some extent. But when one comes to the stage of prema, then he has no other sense except that Krishna is mine. He has no other possession besides Krishna. And therefore he has no other affection towards anyone or anything except Krishna. You know the story of Lord Brahma, who stole the cowherd boys and calves. After Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves, Lord Krishna thought, how can I return to Vrindavan village alone? All of the mothers of the cowherd boys and calves will be so much anxious if I return alone. So Krishna expanded himself into a duplicate set of cowherd boys and calves. Just as each individual has his own bodily features, his own mannerisms, way of speaking, dressing, walking, and everything. Krishna expanded himself to be just like the original cowherd boys and calves. And in the evening, when Krishna returned from the pasturing grounds with the cowherd boys and the calves, they all went to their respective homes, mothers, fathers, cowsheds. And for 1 year, the cowherd boys and calves were actually expansions of Krishna. At least the cowherd boys and calves that were stolen by Brahma. And for 1 year, the love of the mothers and fathers of the cowherd boys and calves increased to the same level as their love for Krishna. At the end of the year, Lord Balaram noticed one peculiar incident. The cowherd men were grazing the cows on top of the hill, and the cowherd boys were grazing some older calves at the bottom of the hill. So when the cows on the top of the hill saw the calves at the bottom, they became so overwhelmed with love and affection that they broke loose from the cowherd men and began jumping down the hill to meet the calves. Now the calves were actually older. They weren't used to suckling the mothers still. But out of intense affection, the mothers began to give milk to the calves. Meanwhile, the cowherd men became completely baffled and frustrated because they were supposed to keep the cows separate from the calves. The cows were not supposed to give milk to the calves then. So they came down the side of the mountain in an angry mood. But when they got close to their sons, their hearts also melted in ecstasy. And they began to smell the heads of their sons and embrace them. Hearts melted, tears flowed from their eyes, and everyone was lost in ecstatic love. So Balaram wondered, how is this? What is this? And later, Krishna revealed that actually he had expanded himself. At the end of the story, Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami that generally, mothers and fathers love their own children more than they love the children of others. So how is it that the mothers and fathers in Vrindavan loved the children that were actually Krishna more than their own children? And Sukadeva Goswami replied that everyone loves his own self most. Why do we love the body? Because the body is an expansion of this self. And why do we love friends and relatives? Because they are expansions of the body. So the center of attraction is the soul. And why do we love the soul? because the soul is an expansion of Krishna. So Krishna is the supreme object of love. Even more than one's own self. So, the sense of possessiveness that is invested in the body and in things related to the body becomes reposed completely in Krishna at the stage of prema. He has no other identification except or any other sense of possessiveness except that Krishna is mine, my Krishna. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. Text 8. In other words, when one thinks Vishnu and no one else to be the only object of love, such an awakening is called bhakti by exalted persons like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada. Here bhakti means prema bhakti, especially. Now, the next verses describe the various stages from Shraddha to prema, which we will not discuss just now. The verses actually summarize the whole progression from Shraddha to prema. But we will continue the discussion about bhava and prema, prayojana, and then come back to this to summarize or conclude. Now, how does one attain bhava? In Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami explains that there are two causes, two possible causes. One is intense spiritual practices, and the other is mercy, or any combination of the two. Now, what is the definition of intense spiritual practices? When one passes through the stage of anartha nivritti and comes to the stage of nishtha, or steadiness in devotional service, then one's practices can become intense, begin to become intense. One is no longer disturbed and diverted by various disruptions, by various causes for disruption in one's devotional service. And more than nishtha, more positive than nishtha is ruchi. When one has positive taste for devotional activities, so much so that one prefers to engage in devotional activities like chanting and hearing above any other activity. And ruchi, in turn, develops into asakti, where one gives us so much pleasure in Krishna consciousness. He becomes so attached to Krishna consciousness that even in the midst of all sorts of disturbing and distracting situations, he remains absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He's not disturbed or distracted by anything. And a sakti matures into bhava when one gets shuddha-sattva. So, the immediate cause of bhava bhakti is sadhana bhakti from the stage of nishtha, and especially ruchi and asakti. Rupa Goswami says there are two causes of the appearance of bhava bhakti. And one of the causes is ardent spiritual practices. And the definition of ardent spiritual practices are the spiritual practices that begin after the stage of anartha nivritti, from nishtha and especially ruchi and asakti. Although the whole process begins with shraddha, and therefore, and the earlier stages bring one to nishtha. Therefore, they may be called indirect causes. But the direct cause of bhava bhakti is sadhana bhakti after anartha nivritti, from nishtha, really from nishtha, and then ruchi.
That's sort of a direct cause?
Yeah. The other cause is mercy. And here again, Rupa Goswami divides mercy into two categories: mercy bestowed by the Lord and mercy bestowed by the devotees.
Just like Radha Nanda, mercy also in the same way.
The mercy bestowed by the Lord also is divided into three categories. If the Lord blesses someone with his words, that you become Krishna conscious, then the person will become Krishna conscious by the mercy of the Lord. If someone gains the sight of the Lord, then just by seeing the Lord, he can immediately come to the stage of bhava. And if the Lord just wishes that you should come to the stage of bhava, then from within your heart, you will feel the appearance of bhava. Srila Prabhupada calls that heartfelt good wishes. And then the other is the mercy of the devotee. Now Rupa Goswami says that usually the devotees attain bhava bhakti by intense spiritual practices. Unusually will the devotee attain bhava by special mercy. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example that generally if one wants to get a degree, He has to go to the university and study, take the exam and pass, and then he gets the degree. But sometimes, in exceptional cases, someone who may not have a university education becomes so distinguished in some field of activity that the university will award an honorary degree to the person. So that is unusual. Very unusual. Usually, one has to go to the classes, read the books, and pass the exam. Now, bhava is translated as ecstasy. And within the category of bhava or ecstasy, there are various categories. One of which is anubhava. In the beginning, just before the definition of bhava bhakti, Lord Chaitanya mentioned sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava means continuous ecstasy or permanent ecstasy that comes from one's relationship with Krishna. I am the servant of Krishna. I'm Krishna's friend. I'm the mother of Krishna. I'm Krishna's girlfriend. That is the permanent ecstasy of the devotee that comes from the devotee's relationship with the Lord. Another division of bhava is anubhava. Anu means, it has many meanings, but one of the meanings is to follow, like Rupanuga, to follow Rupa Goswami. So anubhava means ecstatic symptoms that follow the initial ecstasy. In other words, if I'm experiencing ecstasy internally, there may be some symptoms manifest externally, and they are called anubhava. Generally, ordinary people think of anubhavas like laughing, dancing, crying, falling on the floor, fainting, and so on. And those may also appear. But here, Lord Chaitanya is giving another type of anubhava, which are characteristics of someone in ecstatic love for Krishna. And we can test whether someone has ecstatic love for Krishna more clearly by such symptoms than by temporary displays. So we should learn the different symptoms, because we should also develop them by and by. Shantir Avyartha Kalatvam. These are texts 18 and 19. let me just summarize. Text 16 explains how one develops bhava bhakti by the process of sadhana bhakti. By associating with devotees and chanting and hearing, especially with taste and attachment, one can develop bhava and then prema. So that is described in text 16. And text 17 explains that when one actually develops ecstatic love for Godhead within his heart, there are certain symptoms and next the symptoms are described. Shanti, forgiveness. Avyartha, kalatva. Being free from wasting time. So we should all cultivate these characteristics. Although they won't manifest fully, but still we should try to develop them. Virakti, detachment. You see, if someone is materially attached, yet he manifests ecstatic symptoms, we cannot accept that he has actually come to the state of bhava bhakti, unless the symptom of virakti is there, or detachment. Mana-shunyata, absence of false prestige. Asha-bandha, hope. There's a nice prayer by Rupa Goswami. That exemplifies Ashabanda, text 29. Oh my Lord, I do not have any love for you, nor am I qualified for discharging devotional service by chanting and hearing, nor do I possess the mystic power of the Vaishnava, knowledge, or pious activities. Nor do I belong to a very high caste family. On the whole, I do not possess anything. Still, O beloved of the gopis, because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have an unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart. That hope is always giving me pain. So, we always have to have hope in Krishna consciousness. If we lose hope, then we will lose everything. So here Rupa Goswami appeals to the mercy of the Lord, who is the savior of the fallen, and especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest benefactor of the most fallen. So being servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have every hope that he will show mercy. That is why our service to the Sankirtan movement is our hope, because by spreading the Sankirtan movement, by preaching Krishna consciousness, by distributing Prabhupada's books, we can get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, which will be our best qualification. In many cases, it might be our only qualification. So we should always remain faithful to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, and to the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada. And then by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, we will be able to get more mercy, make more progress. Faithfulness and service to the mission of the spiritual master is the pot that allows us to hold anything. Without that, even if we come in contact with all of the best facilities for spiritual advancement, we won't be able to hold anything. So service to Gaur Nitai, to the Sankirtan movement of Gaur Nitai, is the best way to get their mercy. And only by their mercy will we be able to approach Radha and Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur has also prayed for the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya as the only means to enter Sri Vrindavan Dham and approach Radha and Krishna. Actually, the spiritual master makes the arrangements whereby the disciple can get the Lord's mercy and the mercy of the previous acharyas. So besides giving us the regular daily program for Krishna consciousness, attending Mangalarti, singing the Nisringa prayers, worshipping Tulsi Devi, and everything else, chanting rounds, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and everything else, Srila Prabhupada has also given us the preaching mission. Because by surrendering to the preaching mission, we have the best opportunity to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And therefore what Srila Prabhupada has given us is truly complete. He's given us all of the ingredients of sadhana bhakti in a perfectly presented and adjusted way. And he's also given us the preaching mission by which we can get the greatest mercy from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So we surrender fully to the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us, both in terms of achar and prachar, then we will surely get the mercy of the Lord and the previous acharyas and be able to attain success. Then samutkanta, eagerness. Nama gane sadaruchi. Always having relish for the holy names. Krishna gunakyane, haya sarvada asakti. Always being attached to glorifying the transcendental qualities of Krishna. And finally, Krishna lila stane kari sarvada vasati. He always resides in the abode of Krishna, or the place where Krishna had his pastime. So these are the symptoms of one who has attained bhava. The next Lord Chaitanya describes the symptoms of one who has attained prema. First he says, Kriya Mudra Vigyehan Abhujaya. Even the most learned man cannot understand the words, activities, and symptoms of a person situated in love with Godhead. 39. In between are the list of symptoms of one in ecstatic love with examples from the scriptures. Now we come to the symptoms of prema. Here Lord Chaitanya quotes one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam vritta sva kriyanama kritya. Evam vritta. Vritta means vow. 41. Here the vow means a vow to serve Krishna in a particular way. Swapriya, Swapriya Nama. Swapriya means his own dear. Just like for different devotees in different relationships, different names will be dear. For Subal, it may be Krishna. For Yashoda, it may be Gopal. For the gopis, it may be Radhana, Gopina. But the Maha Mantra is complete. Everything is in the Maha Mantra. So this Swapriya indicates possessiveness, which is one of the symptoms of prema. That anuraga druta chitta uchai hasiti ato rodati roti gayati unmadavan rityati lokabaya. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. When the devotee comes to the stage of prema, he will actually see Krishna. He will get a vision of Krishna. And he will be so happy he will laugh. Or he will see some humorous pastime. Just like he will see Krishna enter the house of an elderly gopi to steal butter. And the elderly gopi will come and say, "Oh, that naughty Krishna, that naughty son of Yasoda, he's come to my house to steal butter." And then Krishna, hearing the voice of the elderly gopi, will become frightened. And he'll start looking here and there on all sides, and then he'll run away. So seeing this scene, the devotee will laugh. Then the vision of Krishna will disappear. And he'll think, "Oh, I had the sight of Krishna and now Krishna is gone." Then in separation from Krishna, he will weep and weep and weep. And he'll cry out to the Lord, that, "Where are you? Where have you gone? I had your vision and now you are gone. Please come back. Please don't leave me like this." Then the Lord, showing mercy upon the devotee, will appear again. And when Krishna appears again, rityati, he dances. So we'll stop here at prema.
These seem to be like some of the symptoms that we generally understand. Are there eight?
No.
33.
No. There are 8 Sandvika bhavas and 33 Vyabhichari bhavas. Those are different. You can't count anubhav. You can't count anubhav means any external expression of an internal ecstasy. Yeah. Because we can read from the list that chanting the holy name can be an anubhav. Describing the transcendental qualities can be an anubhav.
Well, you said that some of the ones that we read in the previous verse, they were different from the ones that generally the devotees think of?
Yeah, like trembling, fainting, hair standing on end. Those are more transitory. Whereas these are permanent features of someone in ecstatic love.
Which ones are more permanent?
Virakti, detachment, all the 9 that we read.
All the ones that were different.
Yeah. So that's how we should judge if somebody has attained the stage of ecstatic love. That by the transitory symptoms, which can be feigned or which can arise even if someone doesn't have bhava. He may have just a glimpse of bhava. Ratiyabhas. He can also exhibit such symptoms. Not artificially. He may actually exhibit them spontaneously, but they don't actually indicate the presence of bhava. There may be bhava rati, it may be ratiyabhas. Or
in the case of Srila Prabhupada that we follow, we never express, for example, all the characteristics of someone in prayer.
Sorry?
Srila Prabhupada was never, or sometimes, but not constantly, expressing the symptom of prema, but he was on the platform of prema.
But he exhibited all of the 9 characteristics that we just... But it's true, the other types of symptoms, like crying or trembling and so on, he didn't manifest very often.
But following that, it seems that it's always present on someone on the prima platform. It's always manifested on someone who's on the prima.
What's always manifest?
The last one that we read.
Oh, the 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are always manifest. It means they're always present.
They crying
may...
and laughing.
Huh?
Crying.
Oh, these?
Yes, the verse 41. This one we said that it's always present. That always manifest.
Well, here we come to the same point, that when someone comes to the stage of prema, he's on the platform of Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa is beyond the rules and regulations. But if the Paramahamsa is associating with ordinary people, or neophyte devotees, then he will not manifest himself. But he'll set the example by acting as a sadhaka should act. So that's why again Srila Prabhupada says that if one is a Paramahamsa, and if he wants to act like a Paramahamsa, then he should be away from people. He should go to the forest or the mountains. Because if he manifests himself in front of ordinary people, they may become bewildered. Yeah, they may become bewildered. So again, for the sake of preaching, or for the sake of others, Srila Prabhupada contained himself. It's like the same example when Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya met. They exhibited so many ecstatic symptoms. But when Lord Chaitanya became aware of the Brahmins that were watching them and the fact that they were outsiders, then he contained himself.
It's the action of yogami. The fact that they can contain themselves, because if it's spontaneous, it's very difficult to imagine that it's part of them completely, it's not something artificial, it's completely part.
No, but in prema, the only desire is to serve Krishna and please Krishna. He doesn't desire to enjoy his bliss. So for the sake of Krishna's service, he is prepared to check his own ecstasies or the manifestation of his own ecstasies. One example is given of Krishna's servant in Dwarka who was fanning Krishna, and tears started to well up in his eyes and other symptoms began to appear. But he thought that if he gives way to his ecstatic symptoms, then his devotional service of fanning Krishna will be disturbed. So he checked himself.
So if the devotees are on the platform of Baba mentioned that there is no longer any affection towards anyone or anything except Krishna, but is not the affection of feelings between devotees enhanced as one advances like that?
But we go back to the first definition of Uttama Bhakti. Krishna Anushilanam. What does Krishna mean? What does Krishna mean? Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, his devotees.
You mentioned that performing mudras is favorable for Raganuga Bhakti. Could you explain why? Because I try to remember. I don't understand why this is disturbing for Raganuga.
It's a question. Why do you think it's not favorable?
I'm thinking whether I should have even said it or not.
Because,
you see, Vaidhi Bhakti is favorable. Because by Vaidhi Bhakti we make spiritual advancement. Then when Raganuga Bhakti comes, then performing mudras is not favorable. But Raganuga Bhakti hasn't come. We're far from it. So in the meantime, we should do Vaidhi Bhakti. That will be very favorable.
No, if I just ask a quick question. Yesterday you gave the example of a verse from the 11th chapter describing how the devotee, even if he closes his eyes and runs towards the goal, he will not trip. There was an analogous point being made. What was he? He's closing his eyes.
Yeah.
What is that compared to?
To someone who... he's closing his eyes to the secondary processes of devotional service and he's just concentrating on the main ones. So he will not stumble or fall if he rushes towards the goal by performing the main items.
Verse doesn't it describe an ekanga bhakti? That's what I thought you used that before.
Yes, ekanga means someone who concentrates on one of the nine processes. But even if someone concentrates on three, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, or even five, and doesn't give much importance to so many others that are in the list of 64, the example applies.
I kind of wanted to get a progression of like in a sati, one can start experiencing the greed, which is preliminary to Raganuga Bhakti, and then when one experiences bhava, then can enter into an understanding of Swarup. And then at Prema, you can see the Lord and earn the best time. Is that how it works?
It's time. Those who have to go to the writing class or leave for any other reason can leave and I'll just answer this question. You have to go to... Okay, so we'll take it up tomorrow. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki.